Hey friends, if you know me, you likely know that I have a sweet spot in my heart for veterans. My father has a Purple Heart and the scars to show for it. Just recently, I learned that a common side effect of PTSD is hoarding. And those of us with aging parents have seen how quickly a lifetime of memories and keepsakes get stacked in boxes and closets, causing more and more clutter and stress over time. My friends at Floor to Ceiling Home Healing are helping hundreds of folks, veterans included, in residential and commercial settings with decluttering, packing, organizing, itemized liquidations, and even biohazard and hoarding cleanup. They are offering a 20% off discount to our listeners here at Shockin' Y'all. So you can learn more by calling 424-272-8892 or visit their website, www.fchhspaces.com. You can also text Nicole 20, your full name, your phone number, and email to that same phone number, 424-272-8892. You'll receive a 20% off discount just because you're a Shockin' Y'all listener. My friends, we are not meant to do it all alone. The team at FCHH is here to help. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Shock and Y'all, a podcast about our mental and physical fitness, spirituality, and your big, bold life. I'm your host, Nicole Shaka, and I am so grateful you're here. I train bodies for a living, but I'm even more interested in harnessing the mind and elevating your spirit. Every week, I'm speaking with exceptional humans or experts in their field, or folks who genuinely have a unique and valuable insight we can all benefit from. So get cozy, or lace up your shoes, or keep your eyes on the road. And let's drop right in. Oh, hey, y'all. Welcome to Shockin' Y'all. Today, I'm speaking with my darling, dearest friend, Annie Tevlin. We talk about pursuing your purpose in this life from heart-led integrity. We talk about the difference between marked time and leaving a mark. Those are her exact words. We talk about not just good enough in relationships and business, as well as what it takes to create a beautiful community and what that says about you. Not to mention, we brainstorm our commune of old women that will live happily ever after in a field or on a farm. And there's a lot of laughter and some tears. I can't wait for you to hear this. Let's dive right in. I'm going to pull it together. I'm already laughing a little too hard. I apologize. Please welcome Annie. Annie is the impetus. She is the impetus for these love letters I write for each guest every week because I was fortunate enough to be on her podcast Off the Record for the first time in 2019, episode 43 to be exact. And the life-affirming introduction she wrote for me was so breathtaking that I never forgot the way she made me feel that day. Annie still makes me feel like that. She is intentional, not in the hokey-pokey wellness culture tagline kind of way, but the deliberate, keen, perceptive kind of way. She thinks big and she takes action. She is business savvy, resourceful, creative, unique, and gorgeous. She is a presence. You step up to the plate when you're around her because she elevates everyone in her circle. She is the owner of Skin Owl. She now has a brick and mortar shop in beautiful Idaho, a full throttle, legit singer-songwriter, more on that soon, an adored wife, an attentive mother, and a treasure trove of information and wisdom. So much wisdom. Her thoughtfulness knows no bounds, and I feel privileged to call her my dear friend. Please welcome Annie Tevlin. Oh, no!
You did it! You did it! Oh,
there's
my God.
A small tear.
It's so valuable to hear that from someone who knows me. You know what I mean? It's one thing to say that about someone that you witness online, and you kind of get this aura or this presence, or you're impressed by them, but I'm in a season of deeply respecting my friends and really just choosing the ones that I do. And I think for years, it was just like a collection of people because everybody was nice and it was, you know, good enough. But to hear someone that I so deeply respect and so deeply look up to, you say that about me, it's like the sky opens up, you know. It's such an amazing thing. I'm so grateful for you.
No, I'm grateful for you.
I'm grateful for you. We're in a fight now.
I knew it. Dang. Started strong and went off the rails already. I mean, it's on track for every one of my episodes, but I just didn't think it would happen in the first 90 seconds. Okay. Y'all, Annie is kind of a big deal. And we're going backward with my questions because currently we're recording this in April, and hopefully this is going to air in April if I can get my ducks in a row. But Annie's got a real big thing on the works. It's kind of like a life purpose situation, going public shortly. She's a singer-songwriter. And here's my favorite part. Here's my favorite part about Annie. Okay, I knew her for years. And I would, one day during COVID times, I just open up the Instagram and there's Annie with her husband, full throttle, having like a Fiona Apple moment that is so real and good. And I was like, is this, are you lip syncing? Is it, why would you sound like that and I not know about it? I was so insulted.
I know.
Explain yourself.
It's something that I have kept, and I think a lot of people listening actually have something like this. I set out to do things in my life and I've done them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a couple of things that just kind of felt like they were off limits to me. And I'll be honest, the main thing was singing. I've done it since I was a kid. I never did it professionally, never took voice lessons. It was something that I feel like as a young child, listening to music, you know, to date myself. I mean, the music, it was like a lot of R&B, a lot of Boyz II Men, a lot of En Vogue, a lot of just like people doing beautiful things with their voices in the 90s. And it was so expressive, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just, it was how I was able to process information. It was how other people were able to give words to things that I didn't know at the time, because I think my level of self-awareness has increased with age. And it was just so powerful, and it was so powerful and so intimate. And it was like my private little world. And I just didn't think that I could be someone to do it, because I also, on top of that, lived in Los Angeles, where if you live there and you have access to the talent that lives in that city,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You go to an open mic night, it's like American Idol.
Don't do it, you guys. If you live in LA, do not do that. I went to a karaoke night and I was like, is that an open mic night? Is that the same thing? This is the worst decision I ever made. In Burbank, don't do it.
Don't do it. Do not do it. It's just, you know, I think there was just a lot of things that created a narrative that was like, oh, that's not something I can do. You know, like if I was a singer, it's going to look like that. And since I don't look like that, then what is it? And I wasn't able to really value, I would say is the word, the voice that I have, which is, yes, it's not Mariah Carey, but I kind of live in this zone where it's almost like the voice versus American Idol. You know what I mean? Like I can sing the national anthem, but I can make you feel something. And I've really been able to like honor that over the last 6 months of this journey. So yeah, honestly, once my dog, who was like my best, dearest soulmate friend, died in September, it was like the rule book got tossed out. And I was like, I want to honor myself, because Miranda Alcott, who I had on my podcast, who's like a dog medium, pretty much was like, your dog constantly saw you working. Constantly. There she goes again. She's doing it again. This was all the narrative. And I was like, what would Monkey have wanted for me? And this has been such a blessed celestial experience, because all the parts have put together. Like, it never went like this with Skin Owl. It never went like this in certain areas of my life. This has been like, I can't explain it. It's been meant to be.
I have full chills underneath my enormous jean jacket. This makes such great sense, because one of my first questions to you was, you've worn so many hats and you continue to wear them and you wear them effortlessly and they all look really fucking good, which is also super annoying. But we need to know how you step into these different businesses and these different spaces and somehow it just works. Like, I would have full imposter syndrome if I did two of the things you did, because they're so separate, right? Like the creative version of you, the singing, the songwriting, and then Skin Owl, like cosmetic.
I mean, here's like a interesting way to frame this, because I've gotten this question from a few people who are close to me, saying like, Annie, you always seem like you're so fearless. And it's quite the opposite. Like, I have anxiety, I have fears, I am nervous, you know, but I think when it comes to life pursuits, you know, like things that I would feel really sad if I didn't do,
yeah,
I think at some point in my life, I will probably do them. You know, and that's not something that I can say 20 years ago, Annie, but you know, you live a life, you go through divorce, you experience loss, you have a lot of fairness show up in life, right? You're sitting at the table of great success and great challenge. At a certain point, you just say, like, it's not that calculated. It's just like, I want to do this, so I'm going to do it. And I know that if I do it, I will do it well. And so I'm not nervous about it hitting, because I know that if I put my heart into something, the delivery, the intention, the passion, the love will translate. So I just need to do it. I just need to give myself permission to do it. And that's what took me the longest amount of time. You know, it feels riskier than Skin Owl because it's so personal. You know, it's not judging a product that I made, it's judging me. And so I think just at this point, I'm so firm on the people that love me and I love back that it really, it kind of just doesn't matter. And of course, we'll see what the comment streams say. I'm not saying I'm like unhurtable, but I think I have such a great support system that A, no one's going to let me put out a bunk ass song that sucks. That's number one.
I was going to talk to you about something.
And number two.
Track three. I'm kidding. Can you imagine?
By the way, you're like,
You're tone deaf friend. Pull back on track three. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Three were trashing. You know what I mean? And then the other side of it is just like, it's the perfect timing for something like this, because I finally feel like I'm making good choices with the people that I'm surrounding myself with. And I have a partner who I love dearly. You know, I've gone through divorce. The time is now, and it couldn't have come prior to this moment. I deeply feel that.
Yeah. So just listening to you explain that, I think what the secret is moving from your heart, moving with passion, with that sort of clarity where you know yourself so well that you trust that whatever you're putting out is going to have full throttle Annie behind it. It's not going to be like, oh, this could be, you know, the watered down version of self. It's not ever that. It's always very clearly you. And I know folks don't know this, but before we hit record, we had to change rooms because there was a dog barking, but then the dog followed her up into the second room, which is amazing.
Now he's here.
But I've been in your house and I just got a quick tour of your new house as you walked this, your computer around. Your style though is an expression of you too. Like, I feel like the way you make your home a home is so unique and it's so much, it comes right from your heart and it's so beautiful. Is there any advice you have to people that maybe don't know how to do that or don't know where to start to check in with self so that they can be like Annie? No big deal, but like hashtag like Annie.
That is an incredible honor. I don't know the instruction manual for confirming or validating whether or not you are leading with your heart. I think it's ultimately a feeling. It takes a disarming of certain qualities and a strengthening of other qualities to live wholehearted. You know what I mean? Like, it takes a certain type of life slew of lessons that I think have gotten me to this place, right? I've had friendship circles that I feel like preyed on my weaknesses and talked behind my back and gossiped and forsaken, whatever the word is, me. And I've also had friends that I cherish deeply, and there would be a massive loss in my life if I've left them. I have loved not wholeheartedly and married that person, and I have loved wholeheartedly and married that person. I have not had a voice, and then I created a world where I orchestrated and manufactured a position and a job where I could then have a voice, you know, within a skill set that is skincare. I think that, like, at this point, I just know what doesn't feel good, and I really know what feels good. And I think it's because as a child, and I think growing up, I was a leader. I definitely was confident. Like, there's a meme out there that's like, I'm an introvert, but I'm extroverted around people that give me peace. And that's where I'm at. You know what I mean? Like, I was an extrovert around the friends that brought me peace. But other than that, I think I was just like a little bit shy, a little bit quiet, and didn't have much of a voice. And I think when you live a certain part, years, you know what I mean, decades of your life, not speaking up, not saying the restaurant that you would want to go to for dinner, and always saying, I don't know, or whatever you want, you really, at least I really, understand the difference between marked time and leaving a mark. And doing what you don't want to do and doing what you do want to do. And like, that's the best way I can explain it, is like, I just have sat at the table of both. And so now it's just so important to me, knowing that life is so full of shit that you don't want to do, that like, if I do want to do it, like, do it, try it. Yeah. You know what I mean? At least try it. And if the music didn't sound good, or if the music wasn't something that made me proud, you know, then I wouldn't put it out. It's just, there's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of permission. And I'm just trying to stay consistent with that as opposed to perfect. And I will consistently show up for myself in the things that I want to do. And I think a lot of people are multi-passionate, and I think a lot of people are very dynamic, and they could probably do a lot of things. Did you have imposter syndrome when you started doing, you know, Aviator Nation and training people and dancing? Like, did you, or was it like a slow burn that gave you that confidence where you were what you said you were?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both, because honestly, I was moving from my heart in all those instances. It felt very much like the right thing to do. However, if I get too in my head and I start to overthink it, or if I start to compare myself and do that horrible task of, you know, scrolling through a feed and be like, oh my God, this bitch started an app and has a clothing line and has four houses in Aspen. And I rent, you know, yes. Like it's remarkable. So I have to be on top of myself in that way all the time. But to your end, it's about moving from the heart. I've been very clear about the things that I want to do. Moving to Los Angeles, I came here when I was 14, dancing with my dance studio. And I came home and I looked at my mom and I said, I will be living there. And she's like, you're 14, settle down. I said, just so you know, because I just felt it. I was like, this is, I need to be in this space with these crazy people. I need to be able to see the ocean and the trees and the palm trees and the sky. I just knew it. And that was another heart-led moment. So that is very telling. And it makes so much sense about not only how your businesses thrive, but also how you jump from thing to thing. And it works.
Listen, the way that this could be presenting is like, oh my God, she's wearing all these hats and, you know, kind of stay in a lane, right? That was a narrative, a false narrative that I had for a long time. Like, who am I to, you know, want for a successful skincare brand and sing and be in a happy marriage? And, you know, it's like, there's something very unique about these times where, because we're sharing so much of our life, you don't want to come across too happy. You know, what makes you relatable in this alternate universe is strife. So
God forbid you're too happy.
You know what I mean? And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know if what I am is too happy. I'm definitely not too happy. I'm definitely feeling all of the feelings that are in the emotional cascade on a daily basis, but if this is how it's going to go, then I'm going to put myself in a position to be as joyful as I can, because there's things every single day that try and take away that joy, whether it's other people being ugly to each other, or someone's in a bad mood, or, you know what I mean? You got to pivot because your kid's home, and then all the meetings are, you know, it's like, there's no wonder people are talking about sparking joy all the time, because it's constantly being extinguished with the bullshit that's out there. So like, I don't know. Life is hard and life is complex. And so I'm just trying to simplify things by doing the things that set my soul on fire.
And you are. And just so we're clear, everyone that I know that has used your product, or that has heard your voice, or that has been in your presence, or that's walked into your brick and mortar, has just nothing but rave reviews for you because of the way you show up. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you for seeing me. And thank you for being someone that I look up to, you know, truly.
Thank you.
Love you so much.
It just made me really uncomfortable. It just made me really uncomfortable.
I love you. I'm going to get closer. It's going to get weirder.
I hope it does. I really hope it does. You know how many women I've asked to marry me on this? I am a heterosexual lady that has asked multiple of her guests to marry her. And I've probably asked you in person before. That's not weird.
No, and we need like a sister wife. Think about how killer the relationship would be if you just like married your 8 people.
Oh my God. We'd be unstoppable. I'd be like, let's buy some land. And everyone would be like, yeah, we're doing it. And yes. That works.
Seven girls. Just we kick ass and we clean up. And we're
clean up.
Yep. There's one of us is an accountant. One of us is running a spa. You're getting us all toned and aging gracefully.
Thank you. Yes. It's great. And then someone's got to take care of the cattle, but there's women for that too. You know what I mean? So we're not worried about it. That unfortunately takes me right to Micah, your husband.
He'll be the cattle boy.
Way to ruin it. No. Okay. Now for your happy real life marriage. I wanted you, if you don't mind, to share about, I just think you have the most special partnership. I mean, I'm not in your partnership, so I don't know 100%, but from the outside looking in, there's so much love and respect. And I mean, I know you guys. There's so much love and respect that you show toward each other, toward your passions, toward just your well-being. And I want to hear what it's like to be in that, what you find beneficial, how you got there. Like, I know, like you mentioned, through divorce, it just puts it in your face, having been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. 100%. I mean, first of all, my husband like loves you. Like I swear.
Yeah.
He's like, what about two wives? Are we cool with that? Like wants to adopt you. You know what I mean? He just
I'll
loved
take it.
From the beginning, he was just always just such a huge fan of yours because you are so special, you know, just so special and unforgettable. And oh my God, it's just, you are a gift to anyone who gets to be close to you. And obviously there's millions of people who are not close to you and they still feel like you're a gift. You're just what it means to be a friend and a sister to me. And my husband even picks it up. You know, I think you just span all types of relationships to be special to so many people. So I want to preface that with that. You know, my husband and I are both divorced. He was married, I think like in his late 20s. He was divorced in 2015. I was married in 2015 after dating my ex-husband, Dan, for 5 years. And I was divorced 16 months later. I think there's a lot of things that I could say about both of our original partnerships. I won't put words in Micah's mouth, although I'm aware. I think we just both, you know, for him, it was different, right? Got married because that's what you do. Like, you know what I mean? Like you do this and you're together for this amount of years and you live together and like, that's what you do. And it's good enough. You know what I mean? It's good and it's good enough. And like, you know, there's no abuse, right? Not that that's the bar, by the way, but like, it's just all good. And so you keep the train moving for fear of slowing it down. And then obviously real life is revealed to you when you're married and you're 2 feet in and nobody can really get out. And so then all the fun stuff starts to show up.
Mm-hmm.
With me, I don't think I should have married my ex-husband ever, you know, out of fairness to him. He's such a good man. He was, I think, brought into a world. He lived outside of Yosemite and then came and lived with me in LA, you know, and it was like taking someone from the first floor to the third staircase and just got roped up in that whole world. Not that my LA life was that crazy, by the way, it was pretty boring, but I think it was just right by comparison. It was just a lot. Mm. And I think just from the get-go, it was like, I wanted him to be more of a lot of different things that he wasn't. And there was a friendship there and I had a so many men. And not so many men. I don't mean it like that. But you know what I mean? The LA dating story.
Yeah.
This guy's living with you after 2 weeks. This one has a drinking problem. This one's got 10 years older. It was like all the things. So by the time I met him, it was like, oh my God, you're a rock. And I think that's not, you know, my therapist said at the time, Annie, the only people who are championing stability as a key factor in a relationship are unstable people. And I was like... And scene.
And I guess we're done here, right? That's where this session ends.
Yeah, we're going to start couples therapy and let this man get back to a life that, you know what I mean? He can start picking up the pieces and that my, you know, me too. It was just like out of fairness, I think, to both of us to, in the long run, call it. So 5 hours later, to your original question, by the time I met Micah, which was shortly after my divorce, you know, I just knew what I didn't want. I think I was like really clear on like what type of person was not going to be good for me. And what I really wanted was like a best friend, someone who I just saw life through the same lens. We are extremely compatible. What he wants, I genuinely want. And I wasn't bending. I wasn't morphing. I wasn't, you know, I was a chameleon at times in relationships. Like, oh my God, totally. Me too. I totally love that. No, I didn't. I didn't love it, but I wanted you to like me. So I said it. And then after my divorce, it was just like, oh no, I need to like be me. And I don't know who it is yet, but I know what it isn't. And so I just need to be slower and not as thirsty and like a little bit more hands off and like pursued, you know what I mean?
Yeah. In
a friendship way. And that's what it was. And it was just a dear, dear relationship from the beginning with a lot of respect and a lot of care was a word that we used a lot in the beginning because of what we both didn't want to happen to us again, which was get divorced. Can I say one little snippet about my husband? That's like one of my favorite things about our beginning story.
Yes.
Okay. I think you know this. I think maybe you know this, but one of the coolest things, and I would say like a foundation about Micah and I is, you know, I went through my divorce and my therapist was like, Annie, I know you've met someone. He's amazing. But like, I don't trust you. You shouldn't trust you yet. I want you to keep everybody at arm's length for 8 weeks. And I said, okay, fine. And so one morning, Micah would drive from his house to the sports medicine practice that he was working at and would drive by my street in the valley. And he, one morning, just decided to drop off a little journal. And it just said like what he was. So we weren't talking. There was like no texting, none of it. We like, that was it. See you in 8 weeks. And he left this journal that was just like, here's what I did today. And it was like, this is what I ate. And this is blah, blah, blah. And this is, we were like getting to know each other. So he's like, this is the kind of music I'm into. Have you ever heard this song? For 8 weeks, every morning when he would go and teach a class at 5:45, he would leave the journal. And then when I would walk Monkey, I would pick up the journal and I would write. And then I would drop it off and he would get it on the way back. And it was the way that we got to know each other without kissing, without having sex, without doing any of that stuff. It was like, love is blind. It was kind of like love is blind.
No, love is better. This is the best way to find love I've ever heard. This is what our parents did. This is what our grandparents did. They were writing letters across the seas. This is, how did I not know this story? I'm pissed.
I know.
This is the greatest story. And it's not even surprising. Unfortunately, it's not, because these are the type of people you are. I'm just like, oh yeah, see, shit.
It was love on Chandler Avenue in the valley.
I know exactly where that is.
Love in Sherman Oaks.
Sherman Oaks.
It just set the tone. Honestly, I wonder who we would have been without that. He like printed out a photo being like, this is me at work.
Nope.
Because we couldn't text. He like printed out a photo on a printer. Okay, guys, with like it was in the 90s where like part of the mouth would be gone because not all the ink was there. It was 1995.
Please tell me you still have this journal. A, do you still have this journal? Okay, great. B, I just forgot what I was going to say.
Was it about the printing?
No.
Was it about Micah's mouth being gone?
The fact that he didn't put up an argument and he's like, I'm going to one up this therapist and I'm going to start a journal. What is this called? Chain link fence. What is it called? Journal exchange.
Yeah.
God.
And I don't even think he knew that it was going to be that. I just got it. And then I was like, not me not writing back. You know what I mean? Like, of course.
Of course you are. But also, how did he know to pick it up? Now I have questions. Like, did you guys say he just knew to pick it up?
I think both of us were very scared that the other person was going to move on.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, I wasn't moving on to, I wasn't in the mode to date. If I couldn't date him, I was going to, you know, heed my therapist's advice. And I knew I couldn't date. I knew it because that was my MO. You know what I mean? Just like kind of a serial dater or a serial monogamist. And I needed to spend that time alone in my house, in the house where there was once a marriage, quiet nights, crying myself to sleep with my dog. You know what I mean?
Sounds oddly familiar.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, I do.
It just was what it was. It's you couldn't go around it. You had to go through it in order 100. To come. And I'm so grateful that he was there on the other side of that. It was a good relationship for me as opposed to a relationship that I thought I needed. I didn't need him at the end. I really chose him. And I think we've been in that place, not without our own bullshit, by the way. I want to be very clear. very clear. That man, and I know I do it to him, but he doesn't tell me. I unfortunately tell him all the time. Drives me up the wall. You know what I mean? But it's the respect and the love is there.
I'm choking on my own hair. Wait, can we also just mention, everyone pause right now. I would never tell you to stop listening to this podcast, except for this one reel that went viral that I need you to find. That is hands down one of my favorite, if not my favorite Micah moment, probably my favorite. You guys, can you just briefly tell us about the reel that went viral that you shot of your husband, please? Thank you.
How do we even say this? You know, you can do voice texts.
Correct.
And you can do voice to text.
Right? Yeah, so you can do a voice memo, like a voice note, or you can dictate.
Correct, right? So when you dictate, it puts the words into the text box that you are dictating.
Right.
Or you can just have your voice in a voice memo, right? I don't need to explain this to your audience because everybody out there is probably doing it right. But by the 1% of the chance that you're not, you, Micah, trust me, you feel seen. Because I videoed my husband leaving a voice, I want to get this right, a voice memo as voice to text. So essentially, it would be like me messaging Nicole with my mouth and her hearing my voice doing the following. Hi, Nicole, exclamation mark. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Umlau. Like, it was all the things. And all of a sudden I put it on Instagram, and I'm not kidding, within a week it had like 1.5 million views, and I've never gone viral with anything before. And that was it. That was the moment.
I'm 100,000 of those views, because when I tell you that I watched it on repeat until I was like tears rolling down my face, because the sincerity that he's leaving this voice, wait, whatever it is, he's so sincere. He's like, dot, 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 ellipses, question mark, beer, question mark, dot, 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 period, new paragraph. I wish I'm going to try and put it in the show notes because it makes me that happy.
I'll send you the voice file.
Oh my God, done.
Hey, comma, yeah, dude, period, new paragraph. I feel like I could have stayed there, finished the coffee, and then stayed for beers, exclamation point. Ha, ha. Ha, new paragraph. Next time we do that, we should invite some other people from the brokerage, period. It would be really nice to catch up. That would be real good, umlau, period. Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you for that. This episode is sponsored by umlauellipses.com. Literally it was, and I was just hiding behind our oven, just like, this is going to be good.
I
just didn't know how good.
It's, well, we had no idea. You know what? And that's the magic that you bring to life. And thank God for you. That's all I'm saying.
Thank God for people with a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. No, what are we even doing otherwise? Don't get me off the boat. Get me off the ride. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Listen, we're going to bring it back for a second. I also want to say that the one thing that really inspires me being in your friend circle, but also watching you in action, is how you create community. So no matter what it is that you're doing or embarking on, somehow there's the greatest people around you. Like, your, initially when I booked your podcast, I was like, who are these amazing? You're like, these are my best friends that I work with that are amazing, that are so skilled at such and such and this and that. And I was like, okay, great. And then the next time I hung out with you, it was something skin owl related. And she was like, and this is my, and she runs this, and this is the, and he did. And I was like, where, how? Just like top-notch humans, every left and right. How do you do it?
I don't know, right? Hmm. You and I are two people that know a lot of people. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, yes, yes.
We both lived in Los Angeles. We didn't live in a smaller town where there was less amount of people that you had access to. You currently live in a big town where... Yeah. People are networking, people are talking, people are always looking for work. People, you know, 17 years in Los Angeles with a 8-year-old brand at that time, it was like, just people are just in the mix of things. Yep. And then someone has a friend, and there's just so much networking, and there's so much like people kind of like, low key always being in the mix. Like, it's hard to lose people. unless there's like a full-blown bottom falling out, like relationship dropout, like you kind of accumulate all these people over these years and they just are, they stay.
The ones that stay though, in your particular sphere, I have found are awesome. Remember when you did your Skin Owl dinner and we had the dinner, and not only was it curated, like delicious food, incredible topics. We all went around and spoke, or I can't remember all the things that happened that night. And then we leave and she's got like a room full of swag and gift bags and just giving us things. And then the time I was in Idaho at your shop and we spoke with Shahrzad and everyone. And again, more curated deliciousness and more gifts. And it's just this,
more gifts. I don't know. More swag bags. I don't know. I think you get what you put out. And yeah. After however many years of being alive, I am here to say what I am not. And I'm also here to say what I am. And what I am is someone that always, to a fault of people pleasing, right? So it looked like people pleasing when I was younger. And now that I'm in recovery from that, it looks like being in community in a wholehearted, preserved way. And I'm still working on it. I don't always get it right, but that's the intention, right? And I think like attracts like. Like if you are out there wanting a dinner with people who want to process their life, then guess who's going to buy the tickets? The people, my husband. Walk by.
It's my husband too.
There he is.
It's me. Hey, it's me.
I told the voice to text story.
Sorry about it. We're linking it in the show notes. Sorry, Maria.
You want to say hi? You're on.
Hi. You missed the section where we were talking about you, but you'll be able to hear that soon enough.
Do it again.
It was awesome.
He said.
We talked about the journal and we talked about your voice to text.
That's what we really know.
Those are the polarities. Those are the Micah polarities. Love you. Bye. So, you know, so it's like attracts like, right? It's just like you do the thing and then somebody out there's, I want it, right? So someone out there is also going to buy the ticket.
Yeah.
You teach what you must learn. And so I think a lot of that happened at the beginning. It's like, I want to start processing my life. So I'm going to host something about it. I want to, you know, connect with more people in a new city in Boise, Idaho. So I'm going to do a connection event. Like it's just. Again, you get what you put out and you get back what you put out. And I think I feel very lucky to have had the right people see me and come into my life. But I also understand that I've then given them that in return, you know, a place to be seen, no judgment. I mean, some judgment, but like fun judgment that I can poke fun at. But like, I just want to come as I am because of years of feeling shame. And so I 100% invite that with the people that I'm close to. It's almost like they can do no wrong. You know, like if you just show up as you are.
That's a great point, because if you're showing up as you are with a true heart, then you're not coming in with an ulterior motive, and it's not I'm assuming. And then it's just an easier jump off point.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what I want. You know, I want you to say, Annie, there's nothing that you could do that would make me love you any less. And unless the big things, right? Like the obvious things where it's like, okay, you know, don't do those things and then we'll be fine. But like the kind of, I don't know, day in, day out human behavior stuff, I'm going to be late, I'm going to mess up, I'm going to forget. Can we all just agree that we all do that? And if you don't, we're probably not that close, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like you're always on time and always doing the right thing and always like showing up in full 100% mode. We're probably not going to be that close, because I will kiss you. I will. You know what I mean? Like I will fail you. Yes. Those are just certain examples. In the same way that like, if you don't want to get deep and talk about something, you know, of great meaning and depth to you, then there will probably be a ceiling on our relationship too. So, you know what I mean? You kind of whittle it down to who you are as a person. And then if you're lucky, you get that back.
Yeah. You know what I just thought? Like, It takes a minute. I often talk about my age. So I'm 45 and I often talk about like how getting here to this point feels so good. And then I think about maybe by the time I'm 70, like I'm going to have even more knowledge. I'm going to be even more excited. I'm going to be even more dialed in. I hope it keeps going like that.
What would make it stop? Like, can you think of something that would have to happen in your life that would take you, you know, obviously your audience knows this, but you experienced in this last year, one of the hardest things that someone should ever have to experience, and look at what you did with that. Look at what you continue to do with that. You make something out of nothing and you make something shine after loss. And it's like, you honor life. You honor the people that are special to you. You keep honoring things throughout your life. And so 70, like, watch the fuck out. You know what I mean?
What? That's when the commune goes off.
That's when we start herding our cattle.
Okay. I'm not milking anything, though, okay? I get weird about udders. No. I'm just going to say it.
Oh,
someone else can do that.
We'll let Charizard do that.
Charizard would love it. Charizard would love it. Okay, wait. I just had a thought. Why do I keep forgetting my thoughts today?
I'm going to send her just that timestamp and be like, I talked about you on the podcast. And then it's just going to be that you and I are in an utter free zone, but Charizard's the only person I know that would do it with joy. You know what I mean? She would find a way to be like, and now I'm producing 100 gallons of milk a day with these Midas. With these
and
Midas.
Look at my hair. And I still wear my shoes and look this cute. Oh my God, Charizard. Oh boy. I really lost my train of thought there, but that's fine. I'm going to let it go because obviously it was meant to be released. The next question I have is the obvious question. What is next? So what do you have brewing that you haven't, or can you talk about it? I know that you have some things going on in the back of that.
Yeah. Room. I mean, Skin Owl is a pretty well-oiled engine at this point, right? It's a skincare line. It's a clean, green skincare line.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, I've formulated the products because of my wonderful history with acne, and that is now a 10-year-old brand, and it's like, okay, we're locked there. And that's pivoted. You know, I think in LA, it was all about like growing and growing and growing and growing and exiting. And now it's like, oh no, this could just be like a brand that I have for my entire life. And it is a good influence on community. And I feel like it's a really good thing for me. The singing is what is now present. That will kind of ride. We'll see what happens with that. That's kind of what's like next, I would say. The first single drops next Friday, April 19th. So, and then there's 7 songs. So I will introduce one of them probably like every 3 to 4 weeks. Actually, I'll introduce like 4 singles. And when the 4th single drops, I'll drop the EP, which has another 3 songs on it. And that is all in a pursuit to have music on movies and television shows. That's been the whole mission, is to be the intense song in the background of like a Big Little Lies.
I know 2 music supervisors, and I'm going to just usher your EP over there.
Oh my God. That's my goal. That is the only goal. It's not to
join. Okay.
Or around, like, that's my laser focus, is manifesting that.
Done, dude. Done.
The feeling, the moment. I want people to feel something.
I feel something.
You know what I mean? Voice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's perfect. I love that you describe it that way, because that's exactly what it is. That's when I was a young dancer, I would only choose songs that were so like rip your heart out. And I remember my dance teacher at the time was like, what song do you want to do your solo to? And I was like, well, there's a Sarah McLachlan song called Possession.
Say no more.
You have no life experience for that. Like, where would you even pull from? I'm like, I don't know, but I need to dance to it.
Yes.
I did not, though. We did not go with that. We went with Aerosmith Dream On because, again, an anthem, whatever. This is where we connect. And I just also had a memory when I was on your podcast and you kept asking about music. I get it now. I didn't realize you were a singer at that point years ago.
Neither did I. It was in me. It was my way of like sneaking.
But it makes sense because that's a language. And you had everything kept coming back to music. You were like, what music did you listen to growing up? I'm like, that's so weird. You ask Ania DeFranco. Like, you know, it was just,
I knew we were meant to be friends. I mean, all of it. Okay. Just give me the Lilith Fair. on a CD, and I'm here for Indigo Girls, Ani, Tori Amos, to all of it, all Sarah McLachlan. It was just like, women with voices, Alanis, right? Fiona Apple, you already mentioned, like women with voices. They all had unique voices.
Yep.
None of them probably would have sang the national anthem, but these were all women who taught me how to sing in a subtle way. You know, I was listening and learning. And that's what this is. It is a project so people can feel something. And when you feel something, I do believe great things can happen if you let yourself feel it and just kind of go through the motions of that and see what happens on the other side. Yeah. So there's that, you know, and I think as far as it goes, like, I think at some point there would be a book to write, you know what I mean? A story to tell.
Yeah, I'm ready for that. I also know a publisher. I mean, no pressure, but if you could just get on that really quickly.
You're my manager. You know, everybody I need to in the future.
Yes, I know.
And that's it. I mean, like it's important to say at a certain point in life, and I'm not there yet, but like in the next decade, I would like to get closer and closer and closer to, I don't want to sound like I'm stunting my own growth, but like, I look forward to a time in life where there's less ambition and more kind of wonder, like wandering, you know what I mean? With no, less ambition, more, I'm trying to find a word that rhymes so that it makes sense. You know what I mean? More, it's like, I go and I explore just because the food sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no end game. There's nothing to take from it. There's no book. There's no song. It's just like, what you do in the dark versus what you do in the light. And I kind of just want to do some ruminating and like marinating and traveling and like as a experiment to see if I actually can, because I think there's another side of me. There's a quote out there that's like, I wish that I could have lived one life at home and one life like circumnavigating all of my passions. And there's that polarity is in me. Like, I'm so
ambitious.
You know what I mean? And there's such but I also it's also very exhausting. And so I would like a life of just like, I'm not going to do Skin Owl anymore because I want to do this. You know what I mean? Or like, I'm just being in a place of choice where I don't feel like I'm tied down to anything. It's not yet, you know what I mean? But I think at some point there will be a big fracture in the stuff that I have built to just kind of disappear and have a different type of journey, you know?
Yeah. When we're 70 in the commune.
That's it.
Maybe before that, just we can capitalize. Years. We have to wrap this up, but I didn't tell you how I end these.
Boo.
Dun, dun, dun. I do a little rapid fire. Okay. You're fired. No, I just have five words. I just want you to either say what comes to mind right away, or if you have a story or an anecdote or whatever.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Happy.
Micah.
Oh, makes me happy too.
First thing.
I just love it. Okay. Healthy.
Stretching.
I approve.
Every morning.
Good girl.
6 a.m. You would be so proud of me.
I am already just proud hearing you say that.
Yes, 6 a.m. I'm every morning at 6 a.m. I'm up and I do my Pilates and my stretch for the last 3 months.
So proud. This is a high five for you.
You helped.
Well, thanks. Wealthy.
The first word you think of or the first thing? I'm mixed.
Anything. You can tell a story. You can give me one first word that pops into your brain.
Wealthy is, what's the word? It's like abundance. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but not riches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being rich in the things that matter.
Oh, I love this. I love that. It's a perfect answer. Wise.
Skin Owl.
I was going to say that. I was like, she's going to say Skin Owl. Like an owl. Like what? I was like, I knew it. Okay. Finally, and lastly, free.
Me.
Are these golf snaps? I'm golf snapping. Freaking love it. Freaking love it. And I love you so much.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I would never have thought this after Monkey died, but that the death of him in my life and the ways that I leaned on him, right? Like, things that I wasn't able to communicate about, I could just go into the bedroom and hug him and then I would feel better. So, right, you can't really do that with a human. I mean, you can hug them, it would feel better, but then there's always some exchange. There's some kind of transaction or thing that you need to explain. When that, I would never use a crutch because he was never my crutch, but when that outlet, right, goes away, then what takes its place? How do you comfort yourself? How do you soothe yourself? How are you in the world when you are now a little bit more alone? And I know we're I don't want to have to justify this, but like, if you know, you know, when it comes to a dog that's been with you throughout the last 11 years. And, you know, based on some of the life that I've shared, he was there. And I think with that death, with that loss came some interesting permissions that I never would have expected could have come, and freedom to be me, and there was more space that I was given, and I think that he gifted me that when he left. So yeah, freedom is now something I feel like I have a bit more of now that he's not with me in this world.
Yeah. I also, just to cap it off, her very final episode on Off the Record, if you aren't familiar, was with
Miranda
she's like a dog medium, and it was the most moving. I remember where I was listening to it on a walk with my dog, listening to this podcast episode, tears rolling down my face, laughter coming out of my, it was so many emotional rides in that one podcast episode. And how perfect for you to end your season. Like,
I never said goodbye. I literally never said goodbye. I did 200 and some episodes. And right after that podcast, Monkey got sick and I literally shut down. Like, there will be a reprise, right? At some point.
Yeah.
I never came back. I literally never came back. That was it. So, like, you know, say what you will. That's crazy. Like, that was just, like, talk about the divine timing. It left a scar and it left a path.
Yeah.
And purpose. And so now it's just gratitude. You know, that's really what is left when you have no choice but to live a life without, as you know, someone that you love.
That's it. All that's left is gratitude.
Yeah, and like really ugly tears.
Super gross, ugly tears. Lots of snot. Lots of like laying on the floor being like, oh my God, how many times do I cry on the floor like this?
Yeah, and I think it's important to say, I just want to say this out loud and not in a, you know, self-deprecating way, but I would never, ever compare the loss of my dog to the loss of Matt. And I think it's really important for me to say that out loud because that feels indulgent. The loss of Matt would be the loss of Micah.
Yeah. Oh. I love you.
I love you too. I just thought it was important to say that because while I love Monkey, there's a hierarchy.
Well, I didn't even think of that, but I'm glad you said it because I just didn't even, I don't know. Loss is loss though. I'm not going to say there isn't loss is loss. And that's, and it's hard all the way around, no matter how you slice it or package it. It just sucks.
So. Yeah. There's no good thing about it. There's no, you know, everybody who lost probably wished that they didn't. But yeah, as I create a comparative narrative, it's important just to create that stipulation of great hierarchy and just how that loss showed up in my life, not how I would ever imagine it would show up in yours, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got me. You got me in the last 5 minutes.
Yes.
You did.
I did it.
You're shocking me.
I can't.
Shock the therapy. I think that's something.
Oh my God. One of my friends is a PR gal and an editor. She's like, it should be called shock therapy. I'm like, I am not a therapist. She's like, good point, but it's catchy. I said, cool.
But it's very cathartic like it. On here.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a safe space. So as will our commune be, more to come on that. We'll be doing applications and auditions. So if you don't have your talent show audition piece set, better work on it now.
The audition makes me laugh. It should just be like dance.
Definitely not going to be singing.
Something that has no bearing on the enjoyment at all.
You can't tap. You're out.
You're out. But you, oh, you can, no, no, that's fine that you can wrangle cattle, but you cannot tap.
Can't. Mm-mm.
Goodbye.
It just makes sense. Okay. We're going to end this for real now. I just have to say, thank you for your time. I love you. I can't wait to celebrate you and your musical pursuits and anything else that comes to mind or out of you. Like whatever you birth next, I'm here for it. I love you so much.
I love you so much. Thank you so much for having me. You're a national treasure.
And no, I know you are.
Everyone agrees.
Nope. God dang it.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you back. Thank you so much for listening to Shockin' Y'all today. This is a passion project like no other, and it wouldn't be possible without your support. Please like, download, follow, share, which sounds like a lot, so maybe just one of those will suffice. Please check out my online programming at sweatandstillness.com. Grab a copy of my best-selling children's book, Yoked, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I hope you gathered plenty of light nuggets and personal downloads from today's episode. I will see you next time. Okay, I love you. Bye.